Hey there, Jeff here. Jeff Hoyt, that is. You know how I roll. I just take over the airwaves. When I have somebody really fascinating I want to talk to, I just make it happen. And today, we are sitting high atop Sunrise Ridge, right behind what used to be Granny's attic, to talk to Alessandra Rose. Alessandra, you're here.
I am.
It's so good to have you.
Thank you.
I've loved your music since we started playing it, like way back in the day. I mean, the whole idea behind Voice of Vashon was we wanted to play island-connected artists, and you had been coming to the island before and performing here, and so that gives us ownership. So you're one of us. And so we started playing your music, and you've been on the radio from Voice of Vashon for a really long time.
Yeah, it feels really nice. It's my second home.
Is it really?
I feel like this is at the point I can call it my second home, because every time I'm here, someone goes, "Where do you live on the island again?" I don't live here.
You actually live over in Bremerton.
I do.
But you're a Port Orchard girl.
Yep. When I was 10, I moved to Port Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 18, I got out of Port Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back to Kitsap County 6 years ago in March.
Yeah.
And our home is situated in a beautiful spot in Bremerton, and I see the water every day. And
oh, nice.
My kids go to wonderful, affordable schools.
Yeah.
And life is nice there.
You are a very good close friend of Deborah Heesch's.
I am.
And Deborah, of course, has brought so much amazing music to the island. And that's how I got to meet you.
That's right.
Way back in the beginning. I think it was at Snapdragon, maybe even before it was called Snapdragon. It may have been the Monkey Tree then. And that's when I first told you that I just loved your voice.
Aww.
And I've always thought that you were one great record project away.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
From getting out there and breaking out. And this feels to me like it could be it.
I hope it is, because I took a chance on myself for the first time with this album, like financially, mentally. I went on a limb to fly away from Washington to record the album too.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been probably safer and just done it with people that I know in places that are still absolutely incredible in Seattle. But I think I had to fly away and depart a little bit to really go inward to who I am without anyone knowing who I am and just hearing my voice in the songs that I wrote for the collection on the album.
And how long have you been working on the songs themselves?
So it's actually pretty amazing that this is the week we're doing this, because exactly a year ago, I was working on the album in Nashville.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a year to date. So it's pretty wild. I thought about that last week going, oh, wow, this is the weeks I was in Nashville. So to answer your question, it had been a really long time since I had done a full length, album. And back in, I guess, you know, the height of COVID, really just like, I got to do something more. I have to just go with it, figure it out. When things start to feel safer and better, I need to record songs. But I had only about two songs like in my head, but I had sculpted the idea of really what I wanted to say. So at least I was really grounded in the focus of the intention behind the music I wanted to deliver to people, and to tell a story that was fundamentally and still is really important to my life. And I had played this amazing show that Deborah had asked me to play at the Neptune Centennial. And I got to introduce an amazing human being, and they came up to my room and spoke to me for almost an hour. And all of the things that we had spoken about was kind of just like, what are you doing? Who are you? Why aren't you doing more shows? I'm very confused. What do you need? And I was like, well, I want to record an album. And they're like, uh-huh, so let's make that, like, you need to go do that. Like, how can we help you?
Whoa, serendipity.
And I think from that conversation, it launched me to know that, like, yeah, you are okay to go do this. Like, it's go time, Alessandra. Like, get your stuff together and go.
Did it feel like the time was right
in
the rest
right.
of your life as well?
Yes. And so that's when a month later, I was like, you know what? I know the place I'm going to fly to. Started that communication. And within 3 months, I was in Nashville recording.
Really? It was that quickly?
Yeah. So I wrote 15 songs in about 2 months. And that's the album.
I was thinking these songs were an agonizing process of years of...
Nope.
Wow,
I think they were.
Impressive.
I think they were in my heart and in the back of my mind. I just needed to give myself the time to let it surface.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of these songs I wrote in 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I want to play the first song on the record.
Okay.
Because it's also the first single on the record.
Yes, it is.
There's a video out of it. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Your voice is in such tip-top form in this entire record. Panic at Sunrise. Talk to me about the song itself.
Yeah, so Panic, I really wanted there to be a song that tapped into, well, actually yesterday was 12 years of my partner, husband proposing to me. And I wanted there to be kind of a moment that acknowledges partnership being work, but also being beautiful. And sometimes we have the most ridiculous arguments or confrontations. And then the next day you're like, what was that even about? Like, that was so ridiculous. And I can't even articulate what that even stemmed from.
I can't relate to that at all.
And I wanted there to be, even though a lot of the songs are about motherhood, I wanted there to be a song about also in my life as being a mother, there's also a partnership involved too.
Yeah.
And that can also have repercussions or your children respond to those arguments as well.
So the title, though, Panic at Sunrise, made me think about those times when you are, it might be before sunrise. It might be at any time during the night that you happen
yes.
to wake up to go to the bathroom.
And you're like, oh, dear.
And you just let your mind creep into whatever's mm-hmm. going on just long
yeah.
enough
yeah.
to where it just takes over and you realize, mm-hmm. I'm not going back to sleep for a while.
Exactly.
So is that what this is?
Yeah, it's about that. And then, like, I literally have, like, the vision, though this has never happened in my marriage, you know, of, like, you know, you're sleeping on the couch and you're like, oh, dear. Like, what was, oh, no. Overthinking, overprocessing,
yeah.
and then just hoping that you two can just melt into each other's arms.
Without further ado, then, here's the first track on Rodeo Moth, the new record from Alessandra Rose. This is Panic at Sunrise on Voice of Vashon.
Fade into the edge. We're in scattered, only black. He climbs up the staircase. I'm waiting for a look back. Her is lost. Was it worth it, darling? Don't know why, but who cares now? Let's go back to better days now. I'd rather be wrong, make things right.
let that entire last bit there just finish up. There, that was great. Panic at Sunrise from Rodeo Moth, Alessandra Rose, who's here in the studio. Let's talk about the name of the record. It's Rodeo Moth.
Yes. It's not a real word.
It's not a real word, but there's two H's
there's
at the end.
There's two H's. You got to fit those H's.
I don't know
there.
How to pronounce the extra H. Is it Rodeo Moth, huh? Or yeah. Rodeo Moth?
Yeah. It's just, you know, okay. Kind of floats into the
okay.
Into the
so
distance.
What's with the extra H?
Yeah. So if you scramble up the word Rodeo Moth, it's motherhood.
Ah, an anagram.
Yes. And it's a lovely, and it began as a lovely joke between a handful of women at a baby shower that had to do this silly game that literally no one but me of 20 people could figure out. And everyone just had giggles upon giggles about this Rodeo Moth. And what the heck is Rodeo Moth? And I'm just laughing going, oh my God, it's motherhood, guys. Just unscramble it. It says motherhood. And we all were literally laughing for probably 15 minutes straight about Rodeo Moth. And then it became, we got to get tattoos that say Rodeo Moth, and that will be our mama stamps and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, excellent.
And so about 6 months later, I had a group text to everybody that was there and said, okay, can I have the rights to Rodeo Moth from all of you? And they laughed. I said, it's going to be the name of the album. And they said, awesome. You got it.
Excellent. Oh, now, and you have a great story to go with it.
Yeah. So, okay. And I also just like the sound of it. I like mm-hmm. the way it looks. When I release the album, it will be in all capital letters. It will be very strong, one word.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized I was flying to Nashville to record this album, it just seemed so perfect that it was started with the word rodeo yeah. involved in it.
Well, also, I don't know who the musicians were that you worked with in Nashville. They're fantastic.
They are.
But there's that fuzzy kind of wah-wah Western guitar.
Yes.
That
so
is
I wanted,
ever present.
Yeah, I wanted like a twang element shown throughout the album without uh-huh. being a country album. I wanted to still sound rooted in my rock existence
uh-huh.
As well as allowing there to be vulnerability in like my higher falsetto.
It conjures a wisp of the West too.
Yes. I just wanted there
sound.
To be a whisper for
yeah.
sure. And Court, who played the guitar on the entire album, just instantly understood what I needed and wanted. And it was remarkable to witness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Motherhood, you said earlier, was kind of a theme.
Yes.
And as I was listening to the tracks, there were a couple songs that struck me as maybe about motherhood. Talk to me about thematically how you constructed this.
Yeah, I really went into this as how can I deliver a story arc that would represent me, but also someone who may not have children, may not be a mother, uh-huh. could also listen to the songs and hear them in a different way that makes sense to them. So I almost wanted there to be a back and forth. If you might listen to a track called Electric Heart on the album, you would think it's just a sexy song about two people in love, da 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 da. But to me, it's a deeply personal message about losing a child 12 weeks into my pregnancy. And so I never once described that in the song, but that is what I wrote the song to be about.
And there's hints of that also in Little Child.
Yeah, so exactly. And yeah. Little Child is the little child part is actually referring to me. Uh-huh. And it's almost more a call to my children to know that they can do what they want to do.
That sounds like a musical cue right there. I think we'll check out Little Child okay. now from Rodeo Moth. Here's Alessandra Rose on KVSH.
Waking up short just to rush it to the end of day. Why live this life if it's just planning to end soon? It's miserable, yeah, the beauty I finally all in around my children in a sense remain. Steps to continue this or our dream.
it's okay to be sad for the rain.
Alessandra Rose and Little Child on KVSH. The piano part in that, and this is true of several of the tracks on this record, has this kind of almost anthemic quality to it. Usually in most records, you'll hear one song that you think of as the song where people would, you know, wave their flashlight on their iPhone back and forth.
Yeah.
But you have several on this record, and I'm wondering if that's more a function of how these players in Nashville kind of helped you construct these songs, or if you were envisioning that all along as you worked on them.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I've worked with studio musicians before, but never on an album of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go into this, that was the most unknown part about how this project was going to unfold within 10 days of studio time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I walked in on a Monday and we did all the pre-production, me and my producer, Mitch Dane, who's the owner of Sputnik Sound, down in Nashville. And by Wednesday, all of the songs were, you know, we finished all the pre-production on Thursday, you know, 9 o'clock, they all showed up. And it's like, we have our black pencils and we have our notepads and we hit play on Panic and they listen to it. They write down all of the chord structures. They had to pause because they were all kind of like, oh, okay, this is happening now. I got to actually focus a little bit more. And then Court, the guitar player, briefly described, he's like, wait, so are we going for like a gothic rock Western album? I was like, oh my God, I love you so much. Yes. And
it works.
Come to find out that our favorite album is Bjork Post. You know, everything just made sense.
Right.
And within, you know, minutes, they're in the studio, laying down the track all together in a room. And it was just, there was no worries at all. Mm-hmm. We were just essentially all talking through our minds. Mm-hmm. Like it was magical. It was perfection.
I've always been an album listener and not, what the kids are all doing today, which is just grabbing a song, To me, the arc of a record is what makes it magic. And it's rare that I hear something that is so cohesive. And that was what struck me about this album, which is that really from about the first three songs, I think kind of set the tone with the range of sounds you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then from there on, it just feels like you're building, and the arc of the last, I think, four songs of the record really, to me, felt like an engine starting up.
Yeah.
I think it was on Branches, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'd start dancing on Hot Mama.
Yeah.
And then I guess
I really laid into you with Punch to the Lungs.
Punch to the Lungs is this massive song, you know. And then everything kind of comes back down to basics in the mm-hmm. final song, Come On Over.
Yeah.
So it was a fantastic arc.
Little Child and Come On Over were the two songs I had written before anything else,
mm-hmm.
2 years before I even determined that I should put anything on a record.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is literally just about telling myself that it's okay to let children into my world. It's okay to take a pause. You can come in. I mm-hmm. can breathe.
Well, I'm trying to figure out now how we should play this out, because I've just described this arc, and unless we actually recreate it, it's not going to make much sense. I asked you if you would come in and play one song live for us.
Yes.
So maybe we should start with that.
Okay.
And actually begin at Branches.
Okay.
And then just take it through the rest of the record.
I love it.
From there. We'll go with the studio tracks after that.
Yeah, let's do Branches.
Okay. So let's hear Branches. There's Alessandra Rose.
You call me your baby, so I stood right by your side. You call me your angel, blindly following a guide. I'm leaving this old town. You can watch me walk down. No one's giving up. I'm living out, deciding what to do. See, that gives me space, making my own family tree. One day they'll be leaving me. I hope they'll know I try. Oh, right?
branches getting old.
That is Branches, Alessandra Rose, here on KVSH, live in the Sunrise Ridge studio. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It's got such a powerful yearning inside that song, which is, and in the studio version, it's got, there are all these extra elements that come through that we can't share with you because we just listened to Alessandra live. Tell me a little bit about your beginnings as an artist. Were you playing guitar first? Were you singing first?
The classic I've been singing since I could talk would, you know, define me as a singer. Whatever avenue I had, whatever place I could do, whatever performance I could stand. And
were you doing musical theater and all that stuff?
I did do that. It was whatever performance, whatever talent show. I mean, I had no fear. I performed in first grade, Secondhand Rose by Barbara Streisand in my aunt's tube top. Gold sequined shirt as my mini skirt, and I had to have my mom buy me press-on nails because Barbara Streisand had long nails, and how could I ever do this performance without that accessory? I will not be, the real deal, mother. And so I continued that progression all the way through high school, and took every opportunity I possibly had. And I was gigging and making money at 16 on doing my jazz performances with a trio all over.
Oh, really?
Seattle and stuff. So I was not fearful of that. And I made money like at doing jobs like that. I probably made more money than I do now. So then I got like a full ride scholarship to the Berklee School of Music summer program. And when I was going into my senior year of high school, I was in Boston for like 2 months. And multiple professors were like, don't come here. Don't waste your money. Just do it. Just perform live. And I took that advice, and part of me wishes I hadn't. I wish I would have still gone to college and learned how to be an engineer or learned music business management.
Right.
Learned all of those other things that are so important to actually have a bountiful career in the music industry. But I did what they said, and I still had amazing opportunities as a young woman in Seattle performing and developing my skill playing live music.
I've always been fascinated by how a musician or an artist comes into being and how that all gets constructed. Because, you know, when did you start actually writing songs?
Yeah, I started writing songs mostly on a piano. So I played a lot of piano, probably when I was starting at 12. I would just concentrate on Fiona Apple and how did she do these things and how does she write the things that she writes. I would listen to every Bjork, anything she had ever recorded, just trying to nail it into my head because it made sense from a trained jazz singer to then like, how can I use what's in me without singing jazz? I didn't want to be in that realm. I wanted to be making rock. I wanted to be making beautiful soundscapes that were just different than singing a chart.
So was Bjork really like it for you?
Yeah. I mean, I would think she's one of the most dynamic, beautiful, strong women in the industry that has never let herself back down to maybe what other people in the industry probably think she should have done or could have done.
Right.
I mean, like, she just kept being herself. And I think that is the most important thing. as a woman in this industry to always know that that is what I have to be, my true self, my authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, that's going to be really sad. But I think like with this unreleased album, Rodeo Moth, I don't look back at one moment and think, oh, I shouldn't have done that because so-and-so told me to.
Right.
I only had people around me that understood the collection, my vision, and facilitated everything that I wanted to capture exactly the way I needed to have it done.
So you've got some determination now, I can tell, to make
this work. I have a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time I went to college. That's what I say. I spent money on myself for the first time. You know, I didn't go to college, but I, you know, you have to take out a loan to make music the way you wanted. I wanted it to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had very kind, gracious people that helped me out in those areas too. The producers and engineers behind it. I want this to work because I have to have it work for me. My kids are old enough where they know what I do. I started changing the words I use instead of, oh, mommy's going to go play music. It's, I'm going to go to work now.
Mm-hmm.
So every time, like right now, they are telling, if someone asks, where's your mom? It's, oh, she's at work.
Yeah.
You know, this is my job.
Yeah.
And it is what I am doing right now. And I'm trying to do it a lot.
Yeah. Are you really getting the love and support really from the kids? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a happier person when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, raising two very different kids, like none are the same.
Uh-huh.
And that first one was just Daisy Blue. And then that second one is Hendrix Wolf. And I gave them those names. And I have to live with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came out of me really sick and has stayed a continuously sick kid. And these last 5 years have been cradling someone who needs a lot of immune support.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I know he's going to be okay if I have to go away a little bit, that's the really good thing in my life. And it's good to expand my wings and like say everything's going to be okay. And I have to do what makes me whole as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to our next track on the final 4-song arc of the record, which is
Rodeo
the title
Moth.
Track.
Yeah. Rodeo Moth. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rodeo Moth is just straight up. Let's sing a good song. Have a good time. It makes me joyful singing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all about being a moth, and the life of a moth is, you know, the mom has to do a whole lot of work to make baby moths.
Yeah, yeah.
When you start reading about moths, you're like, whoa, they have it maybe a little bit harder than I do.
Let's be thankful we're not all moths. This is the song that starts with that fuzzy kind of wah-wah Western guitar, which kind of sets the tone for the feel of the record.
Yes.
But then there's this little instrumental section early on that almost sounds like an engine starting to me, which is really like launching us into these final 3 songs.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Rodeo Moth. This is the title track from Alessandra Rose on KVSH.
Chase wild dreams, what you mean? Don't back down, cause it might be hard. Change is good, go catch a star. Lovers don't know why. Young feels a different high. Wonder when I get you home. Star that's gonna make me glow. Tongues ride, it's mine to fight. Come over here, Rodeo Moth. Ooh, feel my bleeding heart is stealing everything. Let it age to us.
It's What She Wants. Rodeo Moth, Alessandra Rose on KVSH. That is the title track from her upcoming album, which is being released a song at a time.
It is.
Yeah.
Released.
Are you going to do a video for all the songs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Wow. This is a different world from what it was 10 years ago when you might have come to this moment prior to, you know, having kids.
Yeah.
The music business is different. Social media is different.
Yeah.
The whole technology spectrum is different. Yeah. Have you figured all that stuff out?
No, I'm hoping that someone will do that for me. No. What I do, I'm working towards that, learning how to make content that is needed and still accessible and maybe what people want. I didn't want to just release this whole album. Like my word of the year is patience and a little bit of trust. So I'm being patient with the delivery of the album, hoping that more people, new people will find out about me, or old fans or old people that had heard me will go, oh yeah, I remember that young gal once.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I'm doing one at a time, and then eventually I will release the full album when it's the right moment.
Well, it's interesting because I just finished producing an audiobook recently where I produced and directed the audiobook. The author narrated it, but she decided to go kind of the same direction you're going. She's releasing it a chapter a day.
Wow, that's really
on Substack, and doing it that way, and doing a subscription-based model, completely new, out-of-the-box kind of thinking on how to release a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's all released, all 45 chapters or whatever, it'll go up on Audible and become a full-fledged audiobook.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, you know, and also like, you know, I was just, oh, I'll just do an EP and then that, you know, I can start traction from there. But like the way streaming works and where we read about it, it actually, you know, they don't push an EP out the way they would push an LP out, a full length. You won't get as many listens, so it's like, okay, that's actually not in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
So keep pushing yourself also, or get those 10 songs. And I'm hoping that with the video and the content and people just relearning or new people learning who I am, it'll start to kind of steamroll into itself.
Well, as we work our way through those 10 songs, we are up to number 8 now.
Yeah.
Hot Mama is a dance tune.
Yeah. It came out of nowhere to my family, too, in a living room. I was working in the studio, and I came in the living room. I said, hey, guys, look what I just did. And my son is like, this is the best thing ever. My husband's going, I don't know, Alessandra Rose. And my daughter goes, it sounds like Saved by the Bell. And I'm like, okay, I might need to work on a few things. Good feedback. And I really had no idea what the producer would think of this, but Mitch was like, oh no, we're doing this song. Like, this is good. And he's like, it's for all the hot mamas. Like, go for it. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. You know, you might be in your pajamas, but when you get in that minivan and you're going to get your groceries, you can put on red lipstick and be like, I have 30 minutes to myself. Like, we are doing it.
And that's why it makes it such a perfect transition out of Rodeo Moth, which is an anagram for motherhood. Let's listen to Hot Mama from Rodeo Moth, Alessandra Rose on KVSH.
Rise some glasses on. Turn the radio up, singing a bit of song.
From Rodeo Moth, that is Hot Mama on KVSH. Alessandra Rose is here in the Sunrise Ridge studio. Fantastic song.
Thank you.
I can see them all getting up on the dance floor.
They do.
Yeah.
It brings the party.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're tracking toward the end of the record, and I kind of want to just keep rolling.
Yeah.
Because I've talked about this arc. The next to last song, which is called Punch to the Lungs,
yeah,
which really just kind of starts, it just takes off.
Yes.
And like a ball of fire.
Yeah.
And it's a rock song.
Yeah. When I showed this to Mitch in pre-production, I was literally did not think this was going to be involved in the album.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was maybe too weird. and then I had my eyes on a different song that didn't make it. And he goes, no, it's that one.
Mm-hmm.
That song. I was like, okay. I love it because it says the word, you know, rodeo in it. You have this vision of this cowboy in it. But really, it's a love letter to my son, Hendrick. So
mm-hmm.
It always chokes me up. And yeah. I really have to, like, suppress all those feelings when I'm playing it live. As, like, a little boy with rapid airway disease since he came out of me. He had pneumonia at 3 weeks. He came out of me not breathing, had CPR. Done as, you know, a 32-year-old into this world. And I wrote this song for him to be a cowboy and to just soar. So
here's Punch to the Lungs on KVSH.
In and out to breathe, the static that's released. You put up a good fight, survived another night. You're living, you're scoring, you're making the right moves. No fearing, ignoring the people who cried wolf. Rodeo cowboy, you ride, feel the wind pass by. Rodeo cowboy, you ride, don't get hurt, red fry. Rodeo cowboy, you'll find sometimes you gotta jump high, leaving the sorrow. Holding on by three, you're living, you're scoring, you're making the right moves. No fearing, ignoring the people who cry wolf.
Don't get hooked, red fry. Rodeo cowboy.
punch to the lungs, as advertised on KVSH. That is the second to the penultimate.
Oh, there you go.
Song on the record. If you're just listening to a record and you didn't know that there was another track, you'd think, I don't need to hear another song. You don't need to go any further than that. That has completed the process, but we have one more to go.
Yeah, which is called Come On Over.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into this thinking I was going to do 5 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks before I showed up, I said, actually, can I do 8 or 9 so I can have it be a full LP? And then Mitch goes, okay, yes, we can get that. We can do that. Okay. And then by the time I got there and he listened to the collection of material I had, he goes, okay, we're doing a full 10. I'm giving you that 10th. It's on me. We're going to make this happen. You need.
And he knew what the 10th song was.
You need 10 songs and we're going to do that song. It's just going to be you and a guitar. And then by the time the musicians came into the room, and then by the end of week 1, week 2 rolled around and we were doing it all as a band together. And, you know, one of them had to be out by 5:30 and we were finished tracking that song by 5:29 p.m.
Yeah.
And it went from you just on an acoustic guitar to, okay, maybe you an acoustic guitar and a little piano too. It's a triumph at the very end of the album.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold back.
So picture those screaming guitars at the end of Punch to the Lungs, and take your little 3 seconds of silence before the final track of the record, Rodeo Moth, comes at you. And this is Come On Over with Alessandra Rose.
Hold my melodies. Hold my melodies. Come on over here, I'll let you in. The bottles that I lost saved me. The heart that I decided to let run and be free. Fix the bones I broke so I could see. A hole.
Me, by me, by me, by me. that's how the album ends. Come On Over from Rodeo Moth, Alessandra Rose. Really dynamic, thrilling, even kind of conclusion to this beautiful record. And I'm so glad I got to play it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's nice hearing them being played.
Shouldn't you just move to Vashon?
I know. Come on.
Come on. Bremerton.
I know.
What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you play here all the time.
I know. Yeah. They need me to play over there. I need to be a nice community member and play a show for them.
Okay. All right. That's where home is. I get it. Tell us about how we can find you.
Yeah. Instagram, a website has everything listed, all of the upcoming shows.
Alessandra Rose.
AlessandraRose.com. Yeah, and Alessandra Rose Music on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to catch you there. Follow me. Follow you.
All that stuff.
Learn all the good things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Like I said at the beginning, we've been playing your music really kind of from the beginning.
Yes.
A Voice of Vashon.
And it's so appreciated.
Yeah. And I just love to listen to you. And I just think you have a fantastic voice. And it's so great to see this record come out and feel like, we get to watch you go.
I know. You know, right before I left for Nashville, I played a show at Snap.
Uh-huh.
It was like very kind of impromptu. Let's just make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I was just like being able to tell people like, guys, I get to go in like 2 months. I'm going to record the album. And like all of everyone just cheering and happy and giving me hugs afterwards. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, that just means the world to me. I'm so grateful for the community on Vashon who has literally supported me for over 10 years now. The people that played on that album 10 years ago, mm-hmm. You Are Gold, live here now. And like, it just kind of comes full circle. And I just, it's really appreciated. And I feel really, I hate the word blessed, but it comes to that.
Thanks so much for being
here. Okay, thank you, Jeff.